Padres would score in the first inning. More importantly, they would score in the ninth inning. Three in the ninth. The Padres scoring in the ninth inning, by the way, for the seventh time in the last eight games. There's been a lot of dramatics. And once again, the Padres are victorious today. 7-6 over the Pittsburgh Pirates. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome into Gwynn and Chris, a full four-hour edition today. We're going to stretch it out a little bit. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. is idle today, but hard at work. Tony Gwynn Jr. is sending out our the date of our Fantasy Football League draft today, and putting together the draft order today.
I love it.
I mean, I don't know what got into this guy.
I don't know. Last year, I think we were like 3 days before the season started.
Last year, the season was kicking off, and you and I were still trying to tell him to get it going.
Get it together.
Tony's got it prepared for us. We're excited about our Fantasy Football League. And, you know, look, it's not a full slate, but it's the beginning of week one of the preseason of the National Football League tonight. There are a couple of games later on, so we will, to that end, be talking a little football in the 3 o'clock hour NFL News and Notes segment for you. But before that, we've got to talk about this baseball team in America's finest city, Scraby. The Padres. My goodness. Let's start with this and work our way back, okay? Let's start with the most outlandish comment of the day in the wake of the Padres winning 14 of their last 16 games and completing a sweep in Pittsburgh for the first time in 13 years today. With their current record of 64-52, the Padres are, get this, only 4.5 games behind the Philadelphia Phillies for the best record in all of Major League Baseball. Thank you for
making it louder.
Making it a little louder. That's it. There's only 4.5 games separating them from the best record in all of baseball now. They have climbed to within 2.5 games of the Dodgers, who are idle tonight. They are closer to the Dodgers than they are to being behind the Braves. What I mean by that, they're 2.5 out of first place. They're 3 ahead of the Braves, who are the wild card team that is chasing them. See what I mean?
Yes.
They're 3 games, you know, they're 3 games clear of a playoff spot. So they're closer to first place than they are to being out of the playoffs now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible all of the things that have transpired and the way they're winning these ball games one after another. I mean, I want to talk about their greatness. I really do. Jackson Merrill, incredible performance again yesterday. Hits 2 home runs, ties the game in the ninth inning. Just magical stuff from this guy. And on it goes. 8 innings of scoreless relief by the bullpen in the first game of the series. Kyle Higashioka winning games with home runs. Donovan Solano with 4 RBI games. David Peralta with big home runs, winning ball games. And oh, by the way, you know, Manny Machado is pretty good. You know?
Yeah, I think so.
It continues to be a little bit of everyone contributing. And that is what has made this run fun, I think. I mean, it's not one or two guys carrying him. It's 26 guys, you know, going out there and finding a way to win a ball game every single time out. And, you know, if the relief pitching is off, then the hitter saved the day. And if the starter, you know, only goes 5, then the bullpen takes it. Whatever it is that's needed, they find a way. Adrian Morejon comes in with the bases loaded and nobody out. Immediately fires a wild pitch to let a run score.
I know.
And then wipes out the inning and gets the save after neither Robert Suarez nor Tanner Scott, the two great relievers, can get the job done last night. It is just, you know, everywhere you look, it's been a magical run. But today they were lucky. I sang their praises for 5 minutes, but they were lucky today.
Why can't we just be in the sing their praises mode?
Well, I sang like a lark.
Why do we have to talk about the bad?
I'm not downplaying anything. They got a little luck today. That's what also goes into a 14 out of 16 streak.
Thank you. At least you admit that.
Sure. Sure it does. Ninth inning, Bogarts dribbles the ball down the line. He's on base. David Bednar walks two guys to load the bases.
After blowing the save the night before.
Right, and then Higashioka hits a double play grounder to end the game. And it doesn't end the game. It puts the Padres into the lead.
It just feels nice that sort of things are happening finally for the Padres instead of against the Padres.
And give them credit because they're taking advantage of every little opening that is presented to them. And that is good baseball. And again, look, beyond the Higashioka, you know, two-run throwing error by O'Neill Cruz, mm-hmm. You know, Arise comes right back up and hits a double to knock in the run. That turned out to be the difference in the game. They needed that extra run.
True.
So, you know, they're doing all the things that they need to do. They're getting, you know, the bounces are going their way. And you need all of that to win 14 out of 16 games, 5 in a row, and 34 and 23 now on the road. They are 11 games over 500 on the road. That is the best road record by quite a margin in the National League. The Yankees have a little better road record at 38 and 22. So it's not the best road record in baseball, but it's close. And, it's just been thrilling. I mean, every single night, I'm playing softball last night. It's my regular, you know, Wednesday night game. And, of course, the Padre game, you know, going into extra innings and everything going on. We're trying to play a softball game. I got 10 guys on my team looking at their phone, watching the Padres game. You know, and guys in the other dugout doing the same thing.
Of course.
And guys on the other field doing the same thing. And when Morejon got the last out, the whole softball complex, yay! You know, I mean, this is what it is. I mean, a winning team, the excitement of a summer that is, you know, going your way brings everyone together. All of a sudden, everybody's on the same page cheering for the same thing. Yeah, I've said it many times. There's only two things that I've discovered that can bring an entire community together. One is, unfortunately, some sort of tragic circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
An earthquake, something. A hurricane,
fire,
something like that. Everybody gets together and helps out, and, you know, we take care of it. So that's, you know, kind of a tragic way to bring everybody together. The other way is a great baseball team or a great football team or a hot basketball run. Whatever it is, a sports team can do it.
Yes, they can.
And it's doing it right now in this community, and we're riding the wave, and it's a wonderful thing. So Padres win again today, 7-6. They score 3 in the ninth after they blew a 4-0 lead. Right now they're playing so well that even their own mistakes can't hurt them. Last night, what'd they win last night? What was the final? 9-8?
Yes.
9-8 last night in the extra inning game. Of the 8 runs Pittsburgh scored last night, I would say the Padres gave them 5 or 6.
Could be said about the other side, too.
What's that?
It could be said about the Pirates, too. Yeah, they both gave each other runs all night.
But, I mean, the Padres played a very sloppy game, admittedly.
Yes.
Bryce Johnson dives for a ball he had no chance to get to in the first inning. That led to a couple of runs. Manny makes a 3-base throwing error, which I think you see that about once a millennium.
Yeah, exactly.
That gives them another run. A little ding to Donovan Solano on that one.
Didn't dig it out.
He didn't even come close to digging it out. I think Jake gets that one. But, you know, look, Solano's not a gold glove first baseman. But, no, it's an error on Manny. You know, you'd like to see your first baseman save you there, but it didn't happen.
He had 4 hits in the first game, so he did
his part.
Yes,
he gets a little break for that. Then later in the game, last night, Estrada strikes out 3 guys in 1 inning,
yep.
But 2 runs score before he gets out of the inning because of pass balls and balls bouncing off a gloves. So, you know, it was, but all of that happened last night. They still won the game. You know, that's
That's what good teams do.
That's what it's A, what good things do, teams do, and it's also when things are going your way. And you challenged me before the game to talk about Mike Schilt. He is currently riding the wave of brilliance right now. Everything this guy does is working. And the reason why is because no matter who he puts into a game gets the job done. That makes a manager look really smart.
Yeah.
But I thought he made two really, really lousy managerial moves today. And it, you know, very well should have, could have cost them the game. You've got Jason Adam warming up in the seventh inning. He did not pitch last night. Matsui did. And Matsui gives up a sharp single to a left-handed batter, O'Neill Cruz. And now you've got one out there. You got Jason Adam warmed up. He's ready. You've got two right-handed batters coming up, Bart and Cruz.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked that Mike Schilt didn't go take him out right there. Schilt always takes his relievers out in the middle of innings to bring another guy in to finish the inning off. But he stuck with Matsui and the ball ended up in the seats, and now you're down 5-4. So I would definitely second-guess that. And I really was beyond stunned in the ninth inning after they got the first two guys on, that David Peralta did not bunt them to second and third. The Padres, again, they've been doing this successfully all year long. You've got to tie the game before you can win the game. And to me, you've got to get the tying run to third base there with one out. And in a bonus, if the sacrifice works, you get the go-ahead run to second base. But Peralta struck out. But guess what? It didn't come back to hurt them because the next guy walked and the bases were loaded anyway, which is probably what would have happened had they bunted.
Is Peralta...
But there was a couple of decisions that I don't like those decisions, and I'm going to point them out. But it just doesn't matter right now.
It doesn't matter. But was there any thought, you think, to Peralta not being a great candidate for the bunt
there? Maybe that's what they thought. Maybe they just Schilt wanted to roll the dice there.
Because Bryce Johnson the night before did it perfectly. And those are the guys that are good.
Yeah, Tyler Wade has been a good bunter. Hassan Kim's a good bunter. Yeah, David Peralta just isn't a good bunter.
He hit a home run earlier in the game, too.
He did. Maybe Mike Schilt just wanted to roll the dice there. It almost came up snake eyes because Higashioka, like I said, hits the double play ball. And I don't know. It was close. They didn't really show a definitive angle. But if O'Neill Cruz, I keep wanting to call him Ellie De La Cruz, but it's O'Neill Cruz. If he throws a strike to first base, would Higashioka been safer out? We couldn't really tell.
No.
That it didn't matter because he threw it about 5 yards wide of the bag and two runs came in and the Padres took the lead and went on to win the ball game. It's all going beautifully. It's probably enjoy it, right? It's not going to continue like this from now until the end of September, is it? But, you know, if it does, the Padres are going to wind up with the best record in baseball.
I think I saw earlier today they have the best record in baseball outside of the first month. If they take away the first month.
If you take away the first month, they would have the best record already.
Yeah.
Well, they certainly have the best record since the All-Star break. They're 14-3.
What happened now, during this All-Star break?
14-2.
This is a different team.
Well, I don't know. It's the same team.
Same team, but different mindset, it seems like.
Same team, confidence. Confidence is a wonderful thing. I mean, you know, you start piecing together some wins. You've won six series in a row. Things are just, you know, they're going their way. They have to ride this as long as they can. You go into Miami now. This is a dismantled ball club, the Miami Marlins.
Yeah,
so
they're nothing. They've got nothing right now.
You'd like to believe you could roll them over, but you know you still got to go out and play some good ball down there and make sure you win that series. Then you'll get home and Pittsburgh's in again, right?
Yes,
and
they are on Monday.
You go back to don't you go to Colorado after that? I mean, there's a real chance here, you know, to really extend this. I mean, I hate to say it. I don't want to look too far ahead. But your next nine games are Miami, Pittsburgh, Colorado, and you just swept Pittsburgh. So, you know, this thing could extend for a little while longer. I don't know if the Dodgers care, but they have to hear the footsteps now.
Oh, they have
You know, 2.5 games. I mean, you're creeping up on them at a rapid pace. The Diamondbacks are playing great. They're 3 back, and the Diamondbacks play the Phillies this weekend for 4 games. Somebody's going to lose those games. If it's the Diamondbacks, the Padres should be able to spread a little gap on them.
They scare me a little bit, though. The Diamondbacks are playing really well,
too. Well, they're playing just as well. Look, the Padres are 14-3 since the All-Star break. The Diamondbacks are 14-4.
So there you go.
There you have it. But the Phillies, if the Diamondbacks take 3 out of 4 and the Padres go into Miami and do what I think they're going to do, they could end up being like a couple of games out of the number one seed in the National League. I mean, we might as well get greedy while things are going our way.
Go for it all.
Yeah. Like I said, at the top.
I mean, we were sitting here a month and a half ago wondering, like hoping that they would even make the wild card.
Well, we went into the All-Star break hoping that. They lost 6 of their last 7 games.
It's true.
Going into the All-Star break, didn't they?
Yes.
So,
and then they lost the first one out of the All-Star break.
And then they got beat up 7-0 in the first game there. All of a sudden, man, it has just surged into this wonderful thing. Like I said, you're only now 4.5 games out of the best record in baseball. That's
showtime.
That's how good this stretch has been for the Padres. We are underway. We're going to talk plenty of Padres. We got to get into Jackson Merrill a little bit later in the show. He was on with us last week. And we asked him about, winning the Rookie of the Year award. He predictably said it didn't matter to him. Guess what? It matters to all of us.
It's got to matter to him, but well, I of get course why he would says like, he does. Yeah,
of
I
course,
get it. I
this
get it.
Kid is class, man.
Is.
That's one
he
of the
is.
Things that we like about him. Paul Skenes, I mean, here's the argument right here. Jackson Merrill just helped the Padres win 3 games.
Yeah.
Paul Skenes never got out of the dugout.
Thank you. His butt is sore from sitting on the bench.
Well,
he's not going to probably face the Padres next week because he's due up to start this weekend.
Yeah.
If I'm the Pirates, if I'm Major League Baseball, I'm intervening and I'm making a Paul
You're intervening.
Skenes, Jackson Merrill thing happen.
Well, you have fun with that. We'll talk about Jackson. We'll get our regular segments, Daily Gambit. We got a countdown today because we're going to have a short show tomorrow on Friday, so we'll do a countdown stuff. That'll be Olympic-oriented. Chris versus the Fans, Big Five. It's all coming your way over the next 4 hours. Gwynn and Chris, without Gwynn, it's Chris Sello, it's Matt Scraby, it's the Odyssey Palace, it's 97.3 The Fan.
Major development.
In the studio since we last left you.
Major development.
The first development was I looked over my shoulder to the right, and if I don't know if I can get the camera over there, but
yeah,
there, you
can.
See there's a window there, and that's into the studio next door now.
Your hand was in front of the
Yeah,
window.
This is now I'm never going to get it back.
I'll come help you if
anyway,
you need it.
That's the studio next door. I believe it's Alt 94.9.
Yes.
They're never in there. They all do their shows from home or
yes,
whatever. So
yes.
It's an empty studio. I looked over my shoulder, and there's a couple of guys standing in there looking in the window.
Yeah, yeah.
And they look like electricians.
Yes.
They look like guys that you see on a phone pole. You know,
oh,
telephone
yeah.
pole.
Yeah, yeah. Hard hat.
Hard
orange
hat.
Vest.
The orange thing. The vest. Yeah, they're up there, working on the lines, and they're looking in the window, and I'm like, "Hi guys, how are you?"
I just thought they were watching TV.
Yeah, I thought, "What are they doing?" And they're looking up at the TV screen, and I'm like, "Well, that's interesting. There was really nothing up there."
Yeah.
Moments later, Adam Klug comes in,
busts in
here, and goes, "Hey, I think the guys fixed our problem, and we might finally get ESPN in the studio."
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I am. I'm not.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because we have never had ESPN, and we've talked about this before. The only place on earth that you can't watch ESPN television is in this studio.
Yep.
Anyway, Adam grabs the clicker, flips it to ESPN, and it's working.
It is.
And we saluted the two guys.
We started clapping. We
with
gave them a
standing ovation.
That's not a joke either.
No, we gave them a standing ovation. Now, there's nothing on ESPN right now except some Little League World Series game between Maryland and Washington, D.C., but
I don't care.
We're watching it because we finally get ESPN after 7 solid years.
It's no joke.
Of being the only place on earth that you couldn't watch the
We
channel.
Were told multiple times
oh.
that it was unable to be fixed.
It was unable to be done. It was not possible.
Because
it's
there's like cell towers on the roof or something.
Right. It wasn't like we didn't ask. We started asking in 2017. And we've been asking ever since. Thank you to the guys who somehow got up on the top of the building and managed to fix the problem.
Yes.
Terrific.
Terrific.
So that's
is right.
Really, really good news.
First development.
Here's the other good news. I think for most of you it's good news. The United States men's basketball team overcame a 13-point fourth quarter deficit to defeat Serbia. It's over. 95-91 was the final score in the semifinals of that tournament. Serbia, led by Nikola Jokic, 17 points, 11 assists. But Serbia had as much as a 17-point lead in this game in the first half, and still led by 13 going to the fourth quarter. So the U.S. had to put on a sprint. Steph Curry, who's been quiet in the tournament, not so today, Scraby. 9 3-pointers for
There's
Steph Curry.
There's the Steph Curry we know.
36 points, the greatest shooter in the history of basketball. Helped him pull it out. LeBron James did his thing with a triple-double. Joel Embiid had some big baskets down the stretch.
He had a massive dunk.
He did. When he had that, though, they were still way behind.
They were, and he went around the Joker, too.
He did.
It's kind of unfair that Joel Embiid is all of a sudden on Team USA.
Yeah, isn't he from Cameroon or something?
Yeah, but he's a citizen now.
Okay, well, whatever. The one guy...
I'll take him.
Look, the pole vaulter's pole vaulting for Sweden,
oh, yeah.
So
yeah, true.
All is fair and...
Olympics and
in love and nationalism, I guess. But, yeah, Team USA pulls it out, 95-91. They'll move on to the gold medal game where they will take on France for the gold medal there. Steph Curry, man, incredible. The whole game turned in the fourth quarter on the rare 6-point play by the United States.
I didn't know that was a thing. I've heard of a 4-point play.
Here's what happened. Durant went up for a 3-point shot.
Okay.
And I think LeBron was standing in front of him,
okay,
setting a screen. Jokic shoved LeBron down to try to get to Durant.
Okay.
Durant shot it. It went in. And there was correctly a foul called on Jokic for shoving LeBron. So in the international basketball rules, and in fact in college and high school and almost everywhere else, if you commit a foul while a guy makes a three, you get the ball back out of bounds.
What?
Or you get free throws.
Wow.
But in this case, they got it out of bounds because they were not over the limit. U.S. passed it right in. Devin Booker, 3-pointer, bang, 6 points on that one trip.
Wow.
And that cut like a 10-point deficit to 4 and set the set in motion the U.S. rally.
Now, I thought you were not a fan of this Team USA team. It sounds like you're a huge fan.
No, I'm not. I was rooting for Serbia the entire game.
No, you were not. That's so wrong. Even though I don't like the team, I'm rooting for them to win the gold.
They're unlikable. They're an unlikable group.
I don't know. Steph Curry's pretty fun.
Steph Curry's all right. I do love him. But the rest of them kind of bug me.
Joel,
to be honest with you, I wasn't outlandishly rooting for Serbia, but... let's put it this way. It wouldn't have broken my heart if the United States kind of got its comeuppance a little bit.
This is the craziest take ever. They're just so
arrogant. They're so annoying.
We're back to treason again.
I know. here's the guy that has really, I think, for the United States, had to learn a lesson in this tournament, and that's Jason Tatum. Mm. He did not play in this game. And we're talking about one of the, quote, greatest players in the NBA.
Was he the finals MVP?
No, Jaylen Brown was.
But, okay.
And Jaylen Brown, got left off this team in favor of Jason Tatum. But I don't think Steve Kerr feels Jason Tatum can guard anybody. I don't feel like Steve Kerr thinks Jason Tatum ever sets a screen or gets does anything other than score. So Steve Kerr's not playing him at all.
And that's really strange.
Yeah, he didn't play. I think it's the second game in the tournament. He just did not play. And Durant came in there, hit some big shot. Anyway,
do you think he's sitting on the bench like angry?
I think he's trying to be, put cool on a happy face and, cheer on his team. But
he's
if you're Jason Tatum, you just got a $38 million a year contract. You just won the NBA championship. You've got to be thinking you're the greatest player in history. Only to find out, man, they don't even want to put you in the game. I mean, it's crazy.
That's hard to take.
Yeah, I could see him coming off the bench or this, that, and the other, but he's not playing and did not play today. in that U.S. victory. One other note from that game, Serbia built its lead on the strength of some brilliant three-point shooting. They were 15 of 30 through three quarters. They were 0 for 9 in the fourth quarter. And the United States rallied. That's when it counts. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, San Diego State football is right around the corner. I believe they're having their Fan Fest Day.
Yes,
on Saturday. We'll get the latest on some of the positional battles going on at camp. Sean Lewis's first year. Aztecs are 23 days away from the season opener.
That is insane.
I know. College football's getting close. Kirk Kenny, who's our guy, will join us to talk about it a little bit when we come back.
At this hour
on 97.3 The Fan, it's brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. For supply chain demands, a flexible workforce, hire with Express Employment Professionals. With contract and full-time workers from Express Employment, you get the staff you need and manage contingent labor costs. Learn more at expresspros.com. That's expresspros.com. Speaking of professionals, two of them with you this afternoon, Chris Sello and Mr. Scraby, Matt Scraby. Tony Gwynn Jr. is idle today, vacationing, but he'll be back with us next week. We got a short show tomorrow. I believe Brian Hoying, the new...
Is that how you pronounce it?
I think so.
Okay, good.
He will be on the program tomorrow, the new Padre right-hander, who is one of the heroes of the victory on Tuesday night in Pittsburgh, part of that eight-inning shutout performance by the bullpen. One streak did come to an end today for the Padres. First time in 10 games that the Padre pitching staff did not strike out at least 10 batters. Only 7 Ks for the Padres today. They were trying to do that for only the second time in franchise history. Have 10 Ks in 10 straight games. But everything else is fine after they win 7-6 in Pittsburgh, a three-run ninth, gets it done. Kyle Higashioka's double play ground ball, which could have ended the game, turned into a two-run throwing error by O'Neill Cruz. As the Rays took the lead, Luis Arraez added an RBI double. Robert Suarez hung on for his 25th save. Whew. It's going good.
It is.
It's going good. All right, let's hope things go that well for the San Diego State football team. Fan Fest coming up this weekend. The season is upon us. That means our guy Kirk Kenny is upon us from the San Diego Union-Tribune, frequent contributor to this program. Kirk, before we get too far into it, how many days is the Chick-fil-A streak at now?
Oh, I forgot about this.
Oh, how could you forget about
this? I
don't
know.
This is the most important thing ever.
I knew you were going to ask, so I just totaled it up, and it is day 1,131.
This is ridiculous.
Get out of here!
So crazy.
1,131 days that Kirk Kenny has eaten at Chick-fil-A. Not counting Sundays, of course, because the...
Wow.
It's closed on Sundays.
Yeah, so you're saved there.
But every other day of the week, Kirk Kenny has a meal at Chick-fil-A. Establishing you, Kirk, as a perfect contributor to this show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Somebody as Looney Tunes as you belongs on this program.
Yes.
So,
did you get your commercial yet from Chick-fil-A?
No,
have they filmed that yet?
When are they going to?
It's a good thing. You know what? It's a good thing I'm left-handed because that seemed like a very much a left-handed compliment.
It did. It was a left-handed compliment.
Hey, you know me, Kirk, and you've known me a long time. That's as Looney Tunes as they get. So,
yes.
We're happy to have you with us. Wait, you asked about...
Oh, yes.
Wasn't there a commercial in the works or
something? Have you filmed this yet? When can we look for it?
When is this happening?
I am not yet at liberty. I am not yet at liberty to divulge that, but you guys will be the first to know.
Okay, you'll debut your Chick-fil-A commercial with Gwynn and Chris.
Kirk Kenny, 1,131 days in a row.
I can't wait for those commercials when they're like, hey, when did you get the idea to come here every day?
Kirk Kenny is going to be the next famous guy like Jared was on Subway.
Oh, someone is a...
I don't know if we want to go down that road.
Yes, I know. I was a little nervous about going down that road there.
No, Jared's a whole other story.
Turned a little ugly.
Someone said, do we have receipts to prove this number? We don't need to because the restaurant receipts. Knows and celebrated
we were,
this.
Scraby and I were at his 1,000th day.
We were.
I mean, they threw him a party at the Chick-fil-A. And you're right, Scraby, the manager, the owner, I mean, everybody came out to celebrate Kirk on that. So, yes, we don't
Who
need
says
receipts.
There's no such thing as a free lunch, right?
Well, look, I think we got one that day,
yes.
And we appreciated it very
you
much.
Did.
We did.
Anyway, we digress.
Yeah,
digress.
Well, digressing.
Why were we talking again?
I don't know. Digressing is what we seem to do best on this program. Aztecs football, of course. And, we had Coach Lewis on last week, and it was good having him. This guy, you can't help but be excited. Every time, you know, we talk to him, I think anybody talks to him. I mean, he's got people feeling up, you know, upbeat. And, you know, the whole program just seems that way from the day he took over till now. Isn't it, Kirk?
Yeah, it's very much a different vibe from the moment you step out there. Even in practice, there's music pumping and, you know, everything's fast, fast, fast for that Aztec fast offense. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Is with all the winning that the Aztecs did over the last decade, you know, fans started getting a little bit complacent because they didn't see enough offense. And so that's Eddie Wicker went out and hired a guy that's going to promise some offense. So we'll see what happens.
Well, they open it up on the 31st of this month down at Snapdragon Stadium. Give us a little update on some of the positional battles of importance. I know you wrote something about the quarterbacks the other day, and everybody wants to know who's going to be the signal caller. How's that looking right now?
That's what Saturday's Fan Fest will be, kind of our first extended glimpse of the battle between Danny O'Neill, a true freshman from Indiana, and A.J. Duffy, who's a sophomore transfer from Florida State, but who grew up locally here in Southern California. So charting their progress will be interesting. I have to give the advantage to Duffy just because he's been around college football for 2 years, but all indications are that Danny O'Neill's pretty talented too, so it's been a lot of fun to watch those two compete.
Talking to Kirk Kenny here of San Diego Union Tribune, I want to talk about, maybe you haven't been able to talk to Coach Lewis about this or off the record, anything like that, but Colorado seemed like it was a nightmare last year to be at, and he was there, he was removed as the offensive coordinator. Do you think that that kind of is going to help him be successful this year, prove to Dion, prove to people around college football that he is a guy who can be successful as a coach?
I don't think he's out looking to prove something to them. I think what he has said so far is every stop you make in your career, you try and pick up things and learn some things. And so I think he learned a few things there that he wants to embrace and others that maybe he doesn't. And mainly here's his philosophy of spreading the ball around and taking what the defense gives you and going, you know, quick to the line and putting the defense on its heels. And that's what he'll look to do with San Diego State now.
Kirk Henney is with us. He wrote an article today in the paper, Scraby,
mm-hmm.
about our guy.
I saw it.
Your and mine's guy.
Yeah.
Dale Sean Staley. How is he our guy? Well, I don't know, Kirk, if you were aware, but about 3 weeks ago, Dale Sean Staley came into studio for an hour, sat in with us, asked us a million questions. He had a couple of his teammates with him. And apparently he wants to get into sports talk radio someday.
Yeah.
Try to take our jobs. Really nice kid. He's from Kansas City, transferred from Northern Iowa. And from what I read today, seems like he's making a mark already on defense.
Yeah, I've been seeing him make plays. Just yesterday I watched him pick off a pass and he made an impression when he transferred here in early for the spring and made an impression then and put him atop the depth chart. And I think he's just continued to build on that. And he's a guy that I think is going to be a real playmaker for them. And they're pretty excited about it. I had a good time talking with him the other day. And especially, I asked, what do you think of San Diego? And he said he's a view guy. So he's talking about, you know, he loves, you know, being along the beach and maybe on a quiet evening just listening to the ocean or going, walking in the hills around town and and going on a walk. So, you know, that was kind of refreshing just to hear that kind of perspective.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm sure he had a wonderful view at Northern Iowa, but Scraby just spent 6 days in Iowa, yes. So there must be something about Iowa that I don't know about.
I didn't know it took that long to get a car fixed.
The Iowa is actually more hilly than you would think, and it has more vista points than you would think.
No, I've been to Omaha 10 times, and
well, that's
right
Nebraska.
Across the bridge is Iowa. And I'll never forget a couple times they had big rainstorms, and it's like they need to find a place to pull the plug so the water will drain. It was flooded for like 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's why Scraby and his family had a reunion.
We were in Dubuque, Iowa. Dubuque on the mighty Mississippi. So.
This is what they do in the Scraby family.
Back to Aztec football.
Did you just try and find where's the exact middle point of the United States? Is that how you guys decided to meet?
No, my grandparents decided to pick the least accessible part of the country to live
in.
It's like an hour and a half one way to an airport, 3 hours to Chicago, all of this stuff. But yes, anyway.
I heard they don't even have ESPN there.
Only
our studio was the last place.
I did actually watch a lot of local news, and Caitlin Clark is a superstar
in Iowa.
Right. And she went to Des Moines, I guess, while we were there, and she surprised a bunch of kids at a school, and it was like it was the biggest thing
Mardi
ever.
Gras.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
All right, back to the Aztecs team. Yeah, she is a rock star. With all the focus on the offense, Kirk. What about the defense? Are the Aztecs going to be that defensive team that we know and love, or is the defense kind of taking backseat a little bit, even though they're never going to admit it to the offense?
Well, I think the offense is going to definitely get the headlines, but the defense looks like it'll be pretty good again. They've brought in several transfers. One thing I noted coming into camp is 16 of the 22 starting spots are on the depth chart coming into camp are taken up by transfers. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And a particular area that they've added players is on the defensive line on the edges. And so I think that's an area to watch in this fan fest and in the first few weeks of the season, some of those new guys they brought in on the edge.
How about the skill players beyond the quarterback position, Kirk? I must say, you know, somebody watches every game, and I didn't think anybody ever really grabbed hold, and you kind of confirmed this when we talked last year. Nobody ever really grabbed hold of that running back position. They never really established anybody on the outside wide receiver-wise. Guys had, you know, some moments here and there. Are there new guys or are there returning guys that are going to be better?
Yeah, that's a position I was going to mention first. A kid, Marquez Cooper, is a transfer Ball State, but he actually played for Sean Lewis at Kent State for 3 years before that. He is the nation's active rushing leader, and so he just transferred in the last few months, and so it's going to be a lot of fun to see what he can do. He's listed atop the depth chart, sharing the starting position with Kenan Christian. So the running back's room is loaded again, but we haven't really gotten a glimpse to see what all Marquez Cooper can do, so that's another thing we're going to be able to see on Saturday.
This is kind of a weird question, but I'm a weird guy, so I'm going to go with it anyway. But
I always get worried when he starts like this.
Matt Araiza is punting for the Kansas City Chiefs. He got the starting job. He punted one the other day, I think 75 yards in the air or something like that, which is great for him. But what's the relationship between the school and Matt Araiza? Because he has been cleared of the things that he was accused of doing, but you know it puts the school in a little bit of a weird spot. Is there anything there, or you know, is it just something we're going to have to see as time goes along?
I think the relationship is still good. I think they've congratulated him when he's been signed, and you know, it's still a good relationship. I don't know where exactly to go with that.
I know.
You know, things have been resolved. He's playing football again, and I think everybody's moving forward.
It's a good thing for sure. Kirk Kenny is with us. Aztecs opening. Texas A&M Commerce is the first opponent, August 31st. You know, I think a lot of people are going to want to come out, get a look at Sean Lewis's team, but I got to be honest, I think the game that I'm really circling is the next one, September 7th, when they're home to Oregon State. You know, you're getting a team out of the Pac-2 to come in here. And, you know, that to me can be kind of a statement. I mean, you go out and you know, roll up some points against that team and, you know, maybe win that game, Kirk. What's the fanfare looking like for these first two home games?
I just got an update today, and I guess season tickets are approaching 10,000, which their goal was to hit 9,300 this year. So wow. I think that's a good sign for them. And it is a pretty good schedule. Both Oregon State and Washington State will be playing at Snapdragon. They face Cal on the road. But you're right. I think, you know, obviously they should be able to handle Texas A&M Commerce pretty well. So, you know, I don't think they're going to pull out every trick of the playbook for that game. So what we see against Oregon will probably be more of the telltale signs of what the team's going to be all about.
Yeah, that's going to be September 7th. It's a night game. I think, you know, everyone's going to kind of circle the calendar for that second game. Although, you know, look, I'm glad to hear the tickets are going well for the opener. People are really excited about Sean Lewis. Kirk, as always, fantastic talking with you. And we'll catch up to you.
Digressing with you.
At a Chick-fil-A near you soon. Thanks,
guys. We didn't even get in any gun smoke, so, you know.
That's for later in the season.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks, Kirk.
Kirk Kenny right there from the Union Tribune. My playing partner, by the way, when I played at Torrey Pines the one time I got to play. So Kirk was all right, man. He's a great guy. You know, I've known Kirk Kenny longer than most people.
Like in the San Diego sports
just anywhere.
Business?
Just
oh,
anywhere.
Wow.
Kirk Kenny and I were roommates.
Yes, I know this.
For a semester. And I think it was 1982 or 3. So, I mean, I've known Kirk Kenny 6 years longer than my wife.
Wow.
A lot longer than you. A lot longer than most.
Thankfully.
I was just saying, of all the people I know, I think Kirk Kenny is one of the guys I've known the longest. Terrific guy.
You know, I sat next to Kirk at a game one night, mm-hmm. and I never do this, but I just chatted his ear off. He didn't chat my ear off. I chatted his ear. I usually just keep to myself and just watch the game, but Kirk and I were having a good old conversation, and I kept talking. So.
Apparently, that's what you're doing these days at ball games. You went to Wrigley Field, you told me, and had a nice long conversation with a lovely young lady over there.
She was drunk, and... usually when people ask me, what do you do? I don't say what I do because I don't really want to talk about it. But I did. I told her, and then she went all in on me for the rest of the day. What are you going to talk about? Are you going to tell people about me? Well, I guess I am because you're being mentioned on the air. But her double vodka that she ordered was a little much.
You can get a double vodka at Wrigley Field?
Yes.
Do they bring it right to your seat?
No, she had to go get it, but she definitely smelled like a couple, maybe four double vodkas in or something.
No wonder the fans at Wrigley are so hard to tame.
She could not care less about this game.
Right.
She just wanted to talk to me about San Diego.
All right, more on the Padres' thrilling victory to complete a three-game sweep. Daily Gambit as we kick off hour number two.